He's making his list, and he's checking it twice, Googling the web and finding out who's been naughty and who's been nice. Then in 7 short days, Santa Claus is coming to town. But is he the only one whose arrival we will celebrate next weekend? Next Sunday, all across America, excited children will rush out of their bedrooms to see what Santa has delivered in the darkness. The anticipation and the excitement this coming week will be almost unbearable for some of them. Little hearts beating to near arrhythmia. Visions of Hatchimals, trolls, drones, virtual reality glasses, cell phones, smartphones, you name it. They've had those visions that are dancing across their minds. And for many, Santa's arrival, his annual download of presents, is the highlight of the year. December 26th, some people will already be yearning for December 25th, 2017. But has Santa become too much a part of the present thing? The bag of goodies thing? The jolly old man in the red suit thing? In fact, Santa, we've seen Santa numerous places already in the past month. Santa appears at malls. I believe he's going to be at Pine Banks Park this afternoon again. I think he was there yesterday, and he's going to be here again today to greet children and families. Many other places we've seen Santa or his representative. And we've seen Santa ride many modes of transportation. On TV last night, I saw again Santa riding in the cab of a fire truck. I've seen Santa riding on the back of a fire truck before, in a sleigh, which we might expect, but on a cart, on a buggy. In my hometown, which used to have a U.S. Air Force base, a depiction of Santa rode one of the retired bombers, and that caused some consternation among the community as to whether this Santa Claus of giving her good things and peaceful Santa should be on a war implement. But he rode the plane for many years. I don't know if Santa's still riding on the retired planes that are there or not. I might try and remember to look next week when I'm there. But Santa seems to be everywhere these days. So as for Christians, we may ask if we've lost touch with Santa's roots as a Christian saint named Nicholas. I think sometimes the red suit and white beard make us forget about the origins. A seaside town in Turkey is the place that back in the 4th century, a Christian bishop named Nicholas lived a life of faith and performed an impressive number of good works. And after his death, he became the patron saint of sailors, barrel makers, small children, and Russians. For years, Russian tourists visited the town to pay their respects to their patron saint. And several years ago, a Russian sculptor donated a bronze statue of Nicholas to be displayed in the center of town. But about a decade ago, the city council voted unanimously to erect a statue of Santa Claus on the town square, a plaster of Paris image of the jolly man in the red suit. The elegant bronze statue of Saint Nicholas was deposed. So that in that Turkish town, Santa rules, even if he looks a little funny in the hot Mediterranean sun. But that was for tourism, and commerce brought more with Santa than St. Nicholas. So as we prepare for Christmas, and to prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ again this year, do we focus on Santa or the first St. Nick and the Christ child that St. Nick worshipped? Nicholas was a passionate follower of Christ, and there are some gifts that he can give us that have nothing to do with Santa's bag of loot. From both Nicholas and Jesus, we discover the true significance of God's glory and God's grace. I want us to think for a moment about glory, what that word means. In the eyes of the world, it often is associated with a high point of human achievement or enjoyment or human prosperity. We speak of glorious accomplishments, splendid vacations, magnificent dream homes, and heap all the praise and all the glory on those tangible things. But in the eyes of God, glory is associated with the birth of a child in a stable, a little baby who is born to be our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. At that first Christmas, heavenly glory did not go to Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, known to the world as the bringer of peace. Instead, glory went to a newborn king named Jesus, the source of a peace that passes all understanding for humans. "Glory to God in the highest heaven," said the angel to the shepherds in Bethlehem, "and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The greatest honor, the greatest praise or distinction of all time goes to a child who will never achieve material prosperity, a life of leisure, or any of the marks of worldly accomplishment. Instead, he is given glory because he will grow up to become a servant leader and be the Savior of all the world. Saint Nicholas attempted to follow the Christ child by serving others in whatever way he could. He was born to wealthy parents and was in line to enjoy the glory of earthly prosperity and achievement. But he heard the challenge of Jesus to sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor. So he used his entire inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and the suffering. He was made a bishop of the church while still a young man and became known for his love of children and his generosity to those in need. Christmas is a good time for us to do a glory check on ourselves. We need to ask ourselves where we are finding glory in our own lives. Is it in our own achievements, our prosperity, in the enjoyment in a pile of gifts on Christmas morning? Or rather, do we find glory in our care for the vulnerable children of our world, in our service to the sick and the suffering and the poor who are all around us? Around the time that Nicholas was performing his ministry, another bishop was called to the royal court by the Roman emperor in order to produce the treasure of the church. For the emperor felt threatened by the growing Christian church and wanted a piece of the wealth that he believed the Christians must possess. That bishop protested, saying that the church had no gold or jewels or other valuables. But the emperor was adamant and demanded that the riches of the church be brought to him the next morning. The next day, the bishop appeared at the palace doorway, and he was empty-handed. "I told you to bring the treasures of the church," the emperor thundered. The bishop then invited the emperor to look out at the palace steps. Gathered together, peering sheepishly through the great doors of the palace, rising above them, was a mass of beggars, those who were crippled, those who were slaves and outcasts of society. "These," said the bishop to the emperor, "these are the treasures of the church." The treasure of the church is its people. It is a treasure made up of everyone who believes in Jesus and everyone who is called to serve in the name of Christ. Our glory is found not in gold or jewels or the gifts that we find under the tree next Sunday morning, but in the opportunities we have to love our neighbors and to show generosity to those in need. So both Saint Nicholas and Jesus can teach us about the true meaning of God's glory. But they also open our eyes to the riches of God's grace. One of the joys of Christmas is that it is a time of gift giving. And there's really nothing wrong with offering presents during the season. After all, it was at Christmas that God gave us the greatest present of all times, the gift of his Son Jesus, the Savior of the world. As I quoted earlier from the Gospel of John, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, may have eternal life. Because God loves us, he gives us his Son. It's a free gift, an undeserved gift, a gift that carries with it the unconditional love of God. Grace is sometimes defined as the gift of God's own self. And that definition certainly fits God's generosity at Christmas, when he gives us the gift of his Son. This is a present that brings God right to the heart of human life. It's a gift that saves us and connects us to our Lord for all eternity. It's a gift of God's own self. It is a gift of grace. As we sang a few moments ago, words of Phillips Brooks, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. Saint Nicholas continued this pattern of gift giving when he reached out to people around him. On three different occasions, he gave bags of gold to poor girls needing dowries. And by doing this, he saved them from being sold into slavery. He became well known for his goodness, his compassion, and his generosity, and was famous for doing whatever he could to protect people who were in danger, especially children and sailors. Saint Nicholas remains a good model for people who want to live a compassionate life. Something that Santa Claus, despite his bag of presents, cannot quite pull off. It may be true that, as one pundit has put it, Saint Nick has been nicked, but he has not been mortally wounded. He remains alive and well for all who want to find God's glory and God's grace in the middle of this excessively Santa-centered season. So while we're trying to be nicer than naughty and staying on Santa's good boy and girl list this week, let's keep an image of Saint Nicholas in the center of our own Christmas preparations and celebrations. He points us to the gift of the Christ child and gives us a model for generous and compassionate Christian service. Let's pray together. Lord, as we see Santa Claus in so many places right now, we pray, Lord, that we may be reminded of Saint Nicholas and all that he did with compassion and caring for others, especially those in need. Lord, help us to model Saint Nicholas in the coming days, that we may reach out to those in need and offer compassion as well. They may know that we care about them, that we're not being selfish and just wanting gifts for ourselves and our loved ones, but that we care about those in society who are not as fortunate as we are. And Lord, prepare us in the coming days as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Christ once more, that having done the preparation, we'll be ready for Christmas morning, not because of presents under the tree, but because Christ will once again be in our world. We ask this in his name. Amen.